Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Juan Sanchez to the podcast. Dr. Sanchez serves as the senior pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. He also serves as a council member of the Gospel Coalition. Dr. Sanchez, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, listen, I've been looking forward today to talking with you about developing leaders in the local church. And we're really going to build a conversation upon your recent book, The Leadership Formula, Develop the Next Generation of Leaders in the Church. It came out in March of this year with B&H, and I know it's been well-reviewed, and I've heard others speak highly of it. I've appreciated looking over it myself, and so we hope today we can have a helpful conversation for pastors and ministers and seminary students who are thinking about the local church and how to develop, how to raise up a generation of leaders in the local church. So before we get to that, though, perhaps you can give our listeners a word of an update on you and your ministry and your family.
Yeah. So this summer, we will have been in Austin and at High Point for 15 years. And so we're looking forward to that celebration. My wife and I will have been married 30 years this summer, and we have five daughters. And our oldest three are married, and we have four grandchildren. And we just love the church, love being a part of ministry here. Austin is very un-Texas, and so it's a highly unchurched population. And so really, it's a mission field of sorts, but it's a wonderful place to serve.
And tell us about your writing ministry. I know, obviously, the Leadership Formula just came out, and this may be too soon to think about the next project. But for our listeners, do you have anything forthcoming or any idea kind of in your heart that you're hoping to put into print?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a number of things, but they're all in Spanish. So one of the things that it's been a conviction of mine is, you know, we have so many wonderful theologians and authors that are writing and publishing in English, and there's no dearth of books in English, but there's a real need in the Spanish-speaking world of even some basic resources. So my friend Edgar Aponte and I, we're working on a systematic theology in Spanish that we hope that we'll have a manuscript done by the end of this year. And then my wife and I are working on a parenting book. Again, just some basic principles for the Spanish-speaking world. And I have one or two other things. I'm editing a series of commentaries on the Gospels. And again, that's with Spanish-speaking authors. And so we're just trying to build a library for the Spanish-speaking world by Spanish authors.
Well, praise God for that. Thank you for your heart in this regard and how the Lord is using you. Well, listen, we're here today to talk primarily about your new book, The Leadership Formula. And again, not just the need to develop leaders in the church, but how to develop leaders within the church. So every book begins with a burden. Every book begins with an idea. Every book begins with a passion. So what was your burden, passion, idea that prompted this book?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a long trajectory, but when I first came to High Point, it was not a healthy church. And I remember being interviewed and our elders asked me what my main concern was. They basically knew that the church was in a tough situation. And so they just wanted my assessment. And I told them that my main concern was in this room where they were interviewing me. And I said, it's the elders. You know, as the elders go, so will the church. You know, so if the leadership is strong and faithful, you know, the church will endure by God's grace. But if the leadership is dysfunctional and divided, it doesn't matter how good things look in the congregation, how good the budget looks and all that, eventually it will fracture. So I've always had a burden for faithful leadership. And we actually see this in the history of Israel, don't we? You know, as the kings and prophets and priests went, so did Israel. Now, we're under new covenant. We have God's Spirit. But I think some of the principles are the same, especially as we see, you know, the fallen pastors and the effects of that on congregations, on evangelicalism, and on the witness of the church. And so we decided to think through how can we develop leaders where we are. And so slowly over a matter of years, what we realize is we want to develop and identify and development of character, because the Bible emphasizes character over competency, whereas the danger, part of the danger we have seen recently in pastors who have fallen, is that the church has elevated competency over character. And so we want to make sure that the Lord looks at the heart while man looks at the outward appearance. So character was important, but we also realized that convictions are important, biblical convictions, theological convictions, doctrinal convictions, and then care for the congregation. And so as we're working through scripture passages like 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, Acts 20, and then 1 Peter 5, we're seeing that pastors care and love the congregation. They're men of conviction, men who are faithful, men of character, and they're able to teach. As I began working through that, in order to help us process that, I came up with a formula, which is basically character plus convictions plus care plus competency, and then observed over time equals credibility. And 1 Timothy 5 gives us warrant not to lay hands on anyone too quickly. And so it helps us to have slow processes. And so that was the emergence of the leadership formula. How do we, in a local church, identify what we call elder trajectory type of men who will be faithful and able to teach others also? Timothy 2:2.
You know, you began the conversation reflecting on the fact that so goes the elder, so goes the church, that there is this trickle-down phenomenon in leadership, as I refer to it as. And I would like for you to make the case a little bit to our listeners that they need to be focused in on raising up leaders in their church. Make the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, we have a pattern or a model in Scripture of a plurality of leadership. You know, Paul planted churches, and then he would go back and make sure that they had elders. He left Titus in Crete to put in order what was not in order, and a big part of that was elders. And the way that Jesus has structured his church, I take this from Ephesians 4:11. The ascended Christ has structured his church with a foundation, which is apostles and prophets. You see that in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3. It's to these apostles and prophets that the gospel has been revealed, the message that Jesus is the Christ. They're the foundation. Evangelists take this gospel to where it has not been heard. And pastors and teachers take this gospel word and teach it to the congregation to equip the church so that then it takes this word and speaks this word to one another in love. And so if you notice, the case that I'm making is tied to the ministry of the word of God. In Acts chapter 6, we see that the church continued to grow, and it's described as the word of God continued to be fruitful and multiply. And so Jesus is building his church by the proclamation of the gospel attended by the Holy Spirit, and he is both growing his church and pastoring his sheep through human pastors that we call elders or pastors. And so it's really important that we identify faithful men to do what the Lord has structured his church to do.
You know, so very often in the local church, when one is looking for leaders, there's kind of a rush past the 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, the Titus 1, 6 through 9, the character qualifications, and just kind of a dash to look for, you know, gifting, to look for interest, yeah. You know, or look for willingness. So help us to think carefully here. How do you prevent rushing past what are these core expectations to matters that aren't irrelevant, but they just can't be primary, matters of gifting or even matters of availability?
Yeah. I mean, we see this all around us, you know, when people appear competent and they're tremendously gifted, but apart from character, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. And so I understand the pressures in the church, particularly local churches that maybe don't have a lot of people who may be able to teach. And so you're kind of desperately trying to tap anyone, you know, kind of to your point of sometimes it's not even about gifting. It's just about willingness. You know, this person's just willing to teach. But I think it's better to hold off because, again, this is the way Jesus has structured his church, and we have to trust the Lord to raise up the leaders that he wants for his church. It is his church, and he will gift his church. And so what I would say is, for example, to a bivocational pastor or a lone pastor, I would say, look, if there are men in the church, just slowly start meeting with men who are willing and are able, and start studying with them and start discipling them. And you have to be in it for the long term. You know, what I like to say is slow and steady and faithful wins the race. And so you have to be in it for the long term.
Well, and look, we all have heard the trope or witnessed the practice of giving people leadership positions, hoping that will kind of prompt them to be more faithful, prompt them to attend worship more regularly, prompt them to take their personal sanctification more seriously. And boy, that's a formula for disaster.
Yes. Yeah, that's not helpful because, I mean, in some rare cases, it might actually, you know, appear to work. But again, this is serious business where we're proclaiming the word of God as representatives of God to the people of God. And you can't separate the message from holiness. And, you know, it's important that, you know, Paul tells the Thessalonians that we didn't just give you the gospel. We gave you our whole lives. We cared for you. And he gives an image of a loving father and also of a nursing mother. Care is a part of pastoring. And like Jesus said, look, if you're not invested in this, if you're a hired hand, if that's all you are, at the first sign of trouble, you're out of there.
Yeah. And look, I have literally heard it said before in churches, you know, if we make him a deacon, maybe he'll show up more regularly, you know, and that's a disastrous line of thinking that often shows up in our churches. So again, I think we're making the case here helpfully, and I know that you've made it helpfully from your book about the importance of raising up biblical leaders in the church, raising up qualified individuals to serve the church. I guess, practically speaking, what would you say to our listeners as to, like, how do they detect potential?
Yeah.
How do they detect someone who, again, they're not derelict, they're not backslidden, they're not lost, so they're there, they're showing at least there's something to work with, they seem to love Christ, they seem to be faithful to the church. But within that category of individuals, what are you looking for to detect? Man, there's real leadership potential there.
Yeah, so that's really the whole reason I put together the leadership formula. In our elders' meetings, there's a portion of our time where we just go around and say, hey, have you guys noticed any men who look like they're potential leaders or elder trajectory is the language that we use. And so what we do then is we take this formula, we observe over time character, and over time character can be observed. As Paul warns in 1 Timothy 5, you know, some people's sins don't show up immediately. Some show up later. And then other people's good works don't show up immediately. Some show up later. And so we want to take our time, and we want to have slow processes, and we want to observe people's character over time. But then we also want to observe their convictions. Their, you know, what is their view of Scripture? What is their view of biblical authority? How are they responding in a small group or in a Sunday school class? What about personal conversations? Then what is their love for the congregation? How are they caring for other members? Even how are they caring for unbelievers? Are they sharing the gospel? Are they taking some other people and discipling them? Or are they in discipleship relationships? Are they investing in other people? And then are they teaching anywhere? And so what we generally do is observe character, conviction, and care. And then if we see that those are encouraging, we might slowly give opportunities to evaluate competency, whether it's teaching one lesson in a Sunday school class or a devotional before the children or the students. And so we want to slowly observe. And so we're ramping people up slowly so that when we affirm someone as an elder before the congregation, they'll have plenty of opportunities to have heard that person teach publicly so that it's not a surprise when we present someone as a candidate for leadership.
So as a pastor, as the senior pastor or the teaching elder in a local church setting, what role do you play or have you played over the years in this process?
Yeah, so I encourage all our guys to identify other men to invest in. I do the same as well. You know, so I meet with men. I spend time in discipleship, but I also try to develop our elders. And so we're studying and we're reading as well. And also I'm helping to keep this before us. We need to just keep identifying men. The way I like to help us think is what we're doing now, if the Lord tarries, will prepare High Point for when our great-grandchildren are here. And so we need to be thinking all the time forward as to how do we prepare this church to have a faithful leadership that will be able to continue teaching others when we're all gone. And so part of my role is just keeping that vision going.
Yeah. And look, you brushed up against the next place I wanted to go. And that is the fact that the hard work of cultivating leaders or developing leaders in the church, the reality is one pastor or one generation may do the hard work, but the next pastor, the next generation actually be the beneficiaries of it.
Yeah.
And it's easy as a pastor to kind of lament the lack of lay leadership in the church and kind of talk aspirationally about, boy, one day I hope I'm in a church setting that has better lay leadership. But we actually need, as pastors, to take this step to cultivate, to raise up those leaders in the church God has you in, but knowing that really they may not be there to bless you, but they may be there to bless your successor in that next season of ministry.
That's right. Or bless another church. You know, we live in a very transient culture, and we may have invested a lot in a guy, and then their job takes them somewhere else. And we are a blessing then to another church.
So I would love to hear you speak a touch personally, just by way of reflection, what for you have been some of the low points, perhaps, and some of the high points as you've been more intentional about raising up leaders in your church there, roughly 15 years. And I would suppose some of the low points may be some individuals that you spent incredible amount of time in, and perhaps they kind of fizzled out in their faith, or they morally fell, or less dramatic but still disappointing is they took a job in another city and moved.
Yeah.
And then some of the high points or encouraging points you've witnessed along the way as well.
Yeah. So as far as low points, I mean, one of the blessings of having been in the same church for 15 years, I mean, it was the low point was when I walked in. And so there was nowhere to go but up. I mean, the only other way to go down was to just the Lord shut down the church. But what we have seen is our slow processes have really protected us. And so there have been a number of instances where, because of the slow processes, it revealed some men who had a real strong desire to serve in leadership, but the slow process revealed some issues that really would have been problematic had they been identified as leaders. You know, so we just look back and think, wow, Lord, you really spared us on these situations. Perhaps some low points is just the reality that, you know, we don't know the human heart, and you're investing in people. And sometimes, you know, the people closest to you will disappoint you. But also, I think we need to understand we can have processes of developing leaders, which is one of the things that I have a strong conviction about through internships and pastoral assistantships, where we can take some risks on some young guys that will be with us temporarily. And so there are two levels of leadership development. One is the leaders within the church that will be a part of the church. And again, there's highs and lows there. You know, some people are wonderful and faithful and others don't work out. But then there's the other, like training to send people out, whether it's pastoral assistantships or internships, and just being willing to take a risk on some younger guys. And probably that's where we've had more misses, is when we brought some people in for a season of time and they just haven't quite worked out. But again, that's part of what we're doing there. And we feel we can take a risk there because it's a temporary training ground.
Juan, let me give you the last word. What word of encouragement would you have for our listeners in this regard?
Yeah, again, I just go back to slow and steady and faithful wins a race. you know, we tend to want to pastor the church we would love to have rather than the church where the Lord has called us to serve. And if we give ourselves to serving the local church where the Lord has placed us and called us to, and pastor for the long haul, it's just like parenting. You know, we parent for the long haul. If we're able to pastor for the long haul, the slow and steady, faithful ministry of preaching expositionally, meeting with people, praying with people, teaching the Bible, raising up leaders, over a long ministry, I think it will just produce fruitful and healthy, encouraging fruit. Let me put it that way.
Juan, thank you so much for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. Man, I pray the Lord blesses your ministry there in Austin and that He gives your new book, The Leadership Formula, out with B&H, a very wide reading.
Thank you so much, brother. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.